Hello, friends. Hello, and welcome to Christ Church Uniting. I am Liz Levitt, pastor of this congregation, and I'm so happy to be here today, welcome you into this time of worship, into this space, into this community. We're gathered in different ways together, but we are gathered. There are some folks sitting here with me. There are a number joining online. That's all wonderful. We are still one body together. We're going to be talking a little bit this morning about wisdom. Right? We're going to be reading a little bit from the book of Proverbs. And, you know, I think we're always seeking wisdom when we come to this place, wisdom for how to live in this challenging world, right? I know we're bringing a lot on our hearts as we come to worship today. And when I feel like I have a lot on my heart, I want to think about how to surrender. I want to think about how to rest in God's peace. And it always brings me back to one of my favorite poems, this one from Denise Levertov. So I'm just going to offer it to you today as an invitation to be leaning back into God's grace in all the ways you need today. Here's what she has to say. This is the avowal. As swimmers dare to lie face to the sky and water bears them, as hawks rest upon air and air sustains them, so would I learn to attain free fall and float into Creator Spirit's deep embrace, knowing no effort earns that all-surrounding grace. So I offer that to you, that spirit of welcome. Usually I would light a candle. There was a unsupervised four-year-old in here earlier who stole my little lighter that I use. I don't know who is responsible for that, but I want to draw our attention to this and the light that is in our midst and that reminds us that as often as we seek God's presence, God is with us and God's Spirit is here. So let's just delight in that symbol that is usually here and let's continue in a time of song. This is Marian and Diane Kaluuya. This is Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Let's seek God's wisdom and presence together. As I said before, we come seeking God's peace, and we not only seek it, we try to share it with each other. So I want to invite you into our practice of making a sign of peace, maybe putting that over your hearts, catching someone's heart, peace of Christ be with you and also with you. So I have some things here that I would like to show our young people. So I see one right over here. You're going to be good there if you can see me, Zelda. Can you see me okay? And I know there's going to be some folks joining online too. So Ellie, Zachary, if you are out there, come close to your screen because this is for you. I want to tell you, I've been forgetting some things lately. Do you ever forget some things? I also feel like there's some things that the pandemic is so long I've just forgot how to do. One of them is how to have people over to my house. Like completely forgot how to do that, right? Have any of you like, oh yeah, we used to do that. So when people used to come to my house, I would say, you know, even if they were just dropping something off, what's something you would do when somebody came to your house? You might say, welcome. Would you like a cup of coffee? Would you like a cup of water, right? So and then there's so many different things, right? And I was just looking in our cabinets. I would say, would you like a cup of water? And then I would say, okay. We got a lot of options for that, right? We have a lot of these around our house because we keep breaking all our glasses. So a bunch of mason jars could say, do you like to have a glass of water? Do you like to have a cup of coffee? Offer them something, right? Hey, this is my favorite, choose love. My dad made this. What else have I got in here? What else have I got? Maybe it's a small person. Maybe they just need like a little cup, right? What else? What how else could we welcome people? Whoa! Special Halloween circular straw used to light up, battery died, and probably is full of mold, but I think this is a fun one. Really want to make somebody feel special. What else I got? Babies come to our house. We could say, hey, want some water? There's all sort of different ways to do this. What's that? I don't know what that is. We could... Lots of different ways to say welcome. And you know, it was occurring to me something super cool. Oh, there's just a regular, there's one of the remaining regular old glasses. We only have about two of those. One thing I was really thinking about, which I didn't get to tell you about last week, was we had something super cool happen last Sunday, which was that our friend Sarah got baptized. And there's so many different ways to get baptized, almost as many as there are cups here, right? You can do it in that big cool shell back there. You see that? You remember that's where you got baptized, Zelda. You could scoop some water with this cool thing, right? Somebody gave this to me. We did ours in the ocean, Sarah, in the ocean. That's something I learned from the disciples. I love it, right? We're dunking people in the ocean. And it's also the way that we welcome people into the church. We say, can I get some water to remind you of God's love, right? So when you see the shell, when you see the water, we can really think about that and how the mission of the church is really to welcome other people and to sort of give them a little bit of what they need to slake their thirst. So you maybe, I'm glad you've all helped me to remember how to have people over my house if the time comes we ever get to do that again. And I'm glad I was able to find all these accoutrements. But I think it's always good to remember that one thing that we can always do in the church is say, welcome, how can I help you feel at home? So I'm charging you with that. I bless you for remembering all the things. And now we are going to turn it over to Beth, who's going to share some music with us.
Before I sing the song entitled Child of Wonder by Marty Hogan, maybe some of you are familiar with it, I want to define who we're talking about with child. Now, there's some obvious beloved children that have entered into the world recently. Of course, Kahlua has 3 grandbabies that entered this world this past year. Our extended family is delighted this past month to welcome a grandniece and a grandnephew. But I also, in addition to Zelda, who might be the youngest in our family here gathered today, I want you to embrace yourself as a child of God when you hear these words.
Of life amid our doubts, you shall be God's child.
Thank you so much for that blessing, Beth. I want to share now our words of wisdom this morning, the first from Proverbs. This is chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. I want you to listen in this for God's word to you in this time and God's word to the church at this time. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She had mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girl. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those lacking sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. And if you would allow, I would add to that. First, let's say, holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. I would add to that just one more poem, a more contemporary word of wisdom. This is another from Denise Levertov that was shared with me this week and speaks, I think, to the matter that Proverbs tries to get at. It's, I learned her name was Proverb. So here's what Denise has to say. As the secret names of all we meet lead us deeper into our labyrinth of valleys and mountains, twisting valleys and steeper mountains. Their hidden names are always like proverb, promises, rune, omen, fable, parable. Those we meet for only one crucial moment, gaze to gaze, or for years know and don't recognize. But of whom later a word sings back to us as if from high among the leaves, still near but beyond sight, drawing us from tree to tree toward the time and the unknown place where we shall know what it is to arrive. So I offer all that holy wisdom to you as well and hope that the Spirit can speak through these words. So I want to share with you that then there has been a reckoning of sorts going on in our house these past weeks, something which has required Jason and I to explore some of the darkest parts of life in our home. And by that, of course, I am referring to the most out-of-reach corners of our kitchen cabinets. You see, we've been doing some work on our kitchen. And in order to do that, we've been forced to move most of the things in our kitchen to other sundry locations throughout the house. And I'm not just talking here about the nice upper dishes and mug cabinets, right? I am talking about the big bottom corner cabinets. You know, the ones you kind of got to get down on the ground on your hands and knees to even see in the back of. Do you have any of these cabinets in your house? I'm talking about the dank and dusty cavernous spaces that seem to function like some sort of entrance to Narnia. Except instead of curious British children, the main commuters through these thoroughfares upsettingly, but not unsurprisingly, seem to be geckos and cockroaches. So we're doing that. And we started by telling ourselves, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to be very organized about this. We're going to just box up or bag up the non-essential items, the things we do not need to cook lunch or dinner or make coffee or whatever, which we thought would be easy, but it turned out to be a rather profound exercising in confronting what Buddhists might call our attachments. Because we started out with the non-essential items, and no, this is not an exaggeration, 25 boxes later, we realized maybe we have a little bit of a problem. So I started to think, okay, that's fine. This is a perfect time to pare down some of this stuff. So I started looking around for things we can live without, right? But I couldn't find any, you know? I mean, not the cherry pitter. Certainly we need that. Like if we want to make cherries jubilee, what are we going to do? Totally need to hang on to that little machine also that attaches to your counter and you skewer an apple on it and then you turn the handle and it shears off like the peel and most of the apple while it cores. And you have one of those? Well, I know where you can find one. I mean, if we decide to make an apple pie, where would we be without that thing? Like in the Stone Age or some vegetable peeler, like late into the night? No, thank you. Now, there was some discussion about the 5 cake pans, right? And the fact that, yes, we've bought our kids birthday cakes at Safeway the night before, like the whole time they've been alive. But someday, surely, we will arrive at the point where we make them for ourselves, right? And then there's the bundt pan, which I don't even think I've actually ever used. But when you want a bundt, you don't have time to wait for Amazon. You know what I'm saying? There's the pasta-making attachment for the KitchenAid, which led us some wonderful memories about the time of our lives when we actually had time for ridiculous things like making your own pasta. And then there was the falafel maker and the Abelskiver pan, the Krumkaka iron, which reminded us of all of our travels, and we reminisced. There was a little miniature crock pot made for holding like hot dip at parties, which I had actually labeled on the bottom with the piece of tape, last used October 30th, 2016, throw away. And I could have thrown it away, right? But like then again, where would you find one of those? You know, you're trying to make some hot dip. Then there's the serving ware, right? The dozens of platters and plates and bowls of various shapes and sizes meant for crowds to descend on us, which won't because, well, COVID, but maybe someday they will again. I have to say, I was like starting to get a little bit down on myself, right? Like, what is all this about? But then I decided to give myself a break. Have you ever tried that? Great practice, giving yourself a break. And I just stepped back and realized that all of these things are really a representation of a deeply held value that both Jason and I share, which is hospitality, right? We love cooking for other people and welcoming them into our home and making them feel warm and full and provided for, and we want as many things as possible at our disposal to do that. And I had that thought, and then I was feeling pretty good, and then I was feeling even better when I read the Proverbs passage. Was one of the lectionary selections today, a text which is all about Sophia, or Lady Wisdom, right? Laying out a feast for those who come to seek her, right? Building a whole house just for the purposes of hosting those that need her insight, right? And inviting everyone to come and dine. Beautiful. I literally thought this. I read that. I thought, that's so beautiful. You know what? I'm 100% sure that wisdom owns a cherry pitter. Like, I am in good company this week. And I was just so enthusiastically, like, latched on to that discovery and the comfort that it offered me in my moment of need, coming to terms with my fixation on kitchen gadgets, that I, in planning worship this week, violated my personal policy to never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, try to preach on Proverbs. Now, why is that, you might ask? Or even if you don't, we're going to go on this journey anyway because I'm in charge up here for this little time. Let's go on a little side journey. Who doesn't love a good proverb? A little statement about common sense, right? I certainly do, as much as I love a quality potato masher. Don't want to try to mash potatoes with some crappy thing. The trouble with proverbs is that mostly that's all it is, right? It's just these little kind of pithy statements about things that are or things that we know or should do or feel like we should do. You know, it's a collection of wisdom sayings. It was probably collected over several millennium in a huge geographical area of the ancient Near East, all knit together in one unit, kind of like the intellectual Pinterest of that time. Like, let's just get all the best stuff we can, publish it in a book. It's a lot of general wisdom for living, like, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. That's Proverbs 15:1. How about this? Those who work their land will have food. Those who chase fantasies have no sense. Great advice for an agricultural lifestyle, Proverbs 12:11. How about this one? I really like this. As dead flies cause a bottle of perfume to stink, so a little foolishness spoils wisdom. I've never actually gotten any dead flies in a bottle of perfume, but I'm willing to accept that, right? Nothing to dispute there. But, you know, in preaching, we're often asking, like, what is the deeper meaning? And sometimes with these sort of, like, short, commonsensical statements, it's, like, difficult to dig deeper than if you scream at somebody, they might get mad, and if you don't, they might not. I mean, it's really a challenge. And an additional challenge is that Proverbs really tends to portray a world that is completely black and white. There's a right way and there's a wrong way, and that's it. It does not leave a lot of nuance for the curious preacher other than to say, yes, that's true, or no, it isn't. But luckily, between all those statements about everything from how to be a good spouse to how to discipline your children to which various types of alcoholic beverages are helpful for assuaging which particular sorts of despair, that is in there, in between all those are these beautiful poems about wisdom. And about how wisdom, who is always portrayed as a woman, Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom, how wisdom was there in the beginning. How wisdom was God's friend in all that came to be. That wisdom was encouraging God to laugh and have joy and to play as God brought the world about. And also about how she is here now with us, offering herself freely should we ever need her. And of course, the one I read at the top of this time here is one of those beautiful descriptions, right? It's wisdom saying to those who pass by, come, come and eat my bread and drink my wine. And for me as a preacher, I think this beautiful little scene lets me get away a little bit from the question of what does it mean? And draws me instead into a deeper question of what does it feel like? What does it feel like to be in the presence of wisdom? What does it feel like to be beckoned by the Spirit? And the answer seems to be, again and again in the book of Proverbs and elsewhere where wisdom is discussed, it feels like being welcomed. It feels like your deepest hunger being satiated. It feels like someone who put out the fine china just for you. And the crux of it is that in order to take hold of this wisdom, in order to take hold of this satiation for our hunger and this sense of profound welcome, all we have to do is accept the Spirit's invitation to come and dine. It is as simple as that. All we have to do is be willing to pause, to turn our gaze just for a moment, and to see the feast that has been laid out before us and to come. You know, I gotta say, I find that to be so beautiful and so comforting. And I also wanna struggle with it like a little bit, you know? It's got me sort of, that's gotta be more complicated than that, God's wisdom. It has to be, right? Wisdom is supposed to be hard won, a prize for the diligent, for the one who climbs the top of the mountain to find the sage. You can't just be sitting there on the side of the road ringing a bell saying dinner time, right? That can't possibly be true, but perhaps it can. Perhaps it can be that simple. Perhaps the real challenge to us is to figure out how to make space in our life to hear that invitation. How to turn our gaze from our hurried journey and our own priorities and worries, and how to hear the Spirit calling us to come and rest and to come and eat and to come and be full. I mean, it's interesting because you see this so clearly in the ministry of Jesus too, right? He's constantly saying, hey, come on. I'll give you the bread of life. Come on, come sit. I'll give you the living water. You'll never go thirsty. Come, this is my body. Take it. Take it. I don't mind. This is my life. Drink it up. I give it to you freely so that you can live. You know, Jesus, who John tells us is the embodiment of God's wisdom, the Logos made flesh, says more than anything else, take and eat. And I think the question presented ourselves to us is, can we let ourselves accept and let ourselves believe that God offers us all this love? You know, I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about wisdom, and suddenly I'm back in my kitchen thinking about the falafel maker. Thinking, do I need this? And the truth is, I don't. To be clear, I'm not going to give it away, just to be clear. I love these little gadgets, but I don't need it to welcome others. That gift is already in my heart. I think it's something God put there. So if it's paper plates and peanut butter sandwiches, I can still show that love. And the rest is just non-essential. You know, I think that gift of hospitality that God has placed in my heart, I think it's a gift that exists in the heart of this church too. hospitality. The desire to welcome and the desire to include, the desire to be available to its neighbors, to nourish them, to seek wisdom. And interestingly, I think it's a gift of this church to do that while requiring nothing of its guests other than a desire to receive what has been offered. There, I think, is the most profound gift of this particular church in this particular moment in the history of the world, the place where its deepest wisdom resides. You know, I think it's why I found so much joy and fulfillment in our partnership as pastor and people these past almost 7 years, is that we've gotten to do that together, to give freely and joyfully for those who came into our midst, the pilgrims along the road, to feed them with open hands, and to find joy in that task. So I told myself, never preach on Proverbs. And I don't know why I picked that today, especially because along with the challenging task of preaching to you on Proverbs, I also have to share some very difficult news with you in this time. And that is that after these many wonderful years, the time has come for me to end my ministry here at CCU. I've been offered an opportunity to serve as a pastor of a church in Portland, Oregon, one whose progressive mission and vision share much in common with ours here. It's a chance for me to build on all the things I've learned and done and experienced in your midst, and as it allows me to continue my ministry while living in closer proximity to a supportive network of family, I've decided, after much prayerful deliberation, after much seeking of the wisdom of the Spirit, that the wise thing is for me to go. And as painful as it is to imagine saying goodbye to you, whom I've come to love so much as we've shared around the table these past years, I really have felt the Spirit at work in this process, beckoning me to something new, and feel as though I must answer. Now I know this news for many of you is and will be difficult to receive. Trust me when I say it is even more difficult to deliver it to you. Some of us have walked a long way together, and others of us are just getting to know each other, and in both of those there is a sadness in the parting. I feel it too, deeply. And I will miss you too so much, every last one of you. I will miss your questions and your curiosities. I will miss your joys and your concerns. I will miss your idiosyncrasies. And I think it's important that we take time to feel that together in the weeks ahead. I know there will also be a lot of worry. There always is when there is change. How will we go forward? Who will help us? What will we do? How will it be? And when the time comes for thinking on those things, I don't think it's quite yet. I think the time is for tending to our hearts right now, but the time comes, I want to assure you that the leadership of this church will be there for you, making sure that you are cared for and that this wonderful ministry will continue to thrive. There are so many kind and wise souls in the midst of this body, and I know they and you are up to the task. So there will be time for that. But in this moment right here, I want to give you just a little bit of assurance, and that is this. As much as I share in your sadness, I want you to know that I also have great faith in you and in this community. I believe so profoundly in the ministry and mission of this church. And I believe so deeply in you, its people, your generosity and your conviction, and most particularly the hospitality that you offer the community of this island. I very much believe now more than ever before that the world needs, and more than that, it wants what you have to share about the love of God and how that love is all-encompassing. You know, we have done amazing things together, which is part of why it's sad and hard to imagine being apart. But I know, even though you may doubt it in this moment, I know that you can and will continue to grow the wise and open heart of this church in ways that delight God. I also believe profoundly that God will be present with you in this season, just as God has been present with me in this time of discernment. I believe that God's wisdom will be with you, offering itself to you along the way. I believe that God's surprising provision will lay out for you that which you need for your journey, each of you and you together as a body. I think that's what God has always done from the beginning and will always do. And so I would encourage you each in your individual worries and individual joys to just take a little bit of space to hear that voice calling. Take and eat. Come and dine. That's all you need do in order to be with me. So I share that news with you today, both in sadness but also in joy and in hope, that the wisdom might continue to be embodied here as I have seen it done every day these last many years. We have a little while longer together, and I look forward to walking with you into the weeks ahead as we make sense of this. And I know wisdom will be there for both of us. So take heart, friends, on this journey. Take these words with grace. And I ask now that they might be blessed by the God who created, who redeemed, and who will always, always sustain us. Amen. We continue to dwell together as a community. We continue to come together in prayer. As always, with both our concerns and our joys, they continue. And so I want to name some of them here. If you're joining us online, I would really invite you to just share your prayer requests there, to type them in the comments. We will take those together and circulate them to the community. We want to continue to be together in prayer. And I'm aware of a few that I'd like to share with you. The first is for Mary Lee Stone. She has a longtime member of our church. She's been having a rotator cuff injury causing her pain for some time. She had anticipated having surgery, will not do that, but has recently had some relief from a steroid injection. So we just pray. It's a little difficult to live life without being able to lift your arm very high. And so we just pray for her strength and encouragement and those that have gathered around her and care, her neighbors. So for Mary Lee Stone. Bob Grantham was having some health problems over the weekend, briefly hospitalized at Castle. He is home now, more comfortable, recuperating, so we just pray for him and his family as they gather around to care for him. We pray with Melissa and Paul for daughter Kristen, who's also had some health problems, and just send her strength and rest today, and certainly some more answers about that. We continue in prayer for Kalua's daughter, Mamo, who had some complications with delivering her baby. And so we celebrate that Mamo has been discharged. We celebrate that baby has been discharged from the ICU into another unit. And so things are moving up, but we just want to surround them with prayers for healing and encouragement. A friend of the many in the church, Becky Rosenberg, has recently also had surgery on her back to deal with some debilitating sciatic pain, so we ask for healing for her. We know that Myrnie lost a friend this week, Leanne, and so we just pray for all those who mourn her sudden death, and we also pray for all of the communities of which she was such an integral part. So Myrnie, we are with you and ask God to bring you and others comfort in that. Joyful news, too. Ansley Seaver, many of you remember Lori from her time here a few years ago. She is getting married today. In fact, I'm thinking she is getting married right now. These flowers are dedicated to her. A little shocking. I feel as though when she came here, she was probably 15. And now here she is. So we just celebrate with her and Philip, and that may there be a blessing and joy on that entire gathering. We have another couple members of the congregation who are having some health troubles. I don't want to name them all here, but let's just be sending some healing blessings out there into our community. And a last thing I would note, if you would be praying for our family, not only in this time of transition, but also for our extended family, my Uncle Robert passed away very unexpectedly on Friday morning. And it's just thrown my family into a little bit of tumult, not anticipating that. And so I pray for them and all those that are thinking about him today. And of course, we pray for our broader community of Hawaii, still coping with immense numbers of COVID, and we just ask that we might be equipped by God in whatever way we're able to be a healing presence to our neighbors. And of course, this church. I recognize that I have thrust you into a season of great change in the middle of a broader season of great change, and so I just pray for our leaders and for your hearts and for the last weeks that we'll have together and ask you to be joining me in prayer for that. So those, together with the things that have been shared online, the things that just remain in the silence of our hearts, those are all accepted. Let's draw ourselves together now into a spirit of prayer. As we say this, God of holy wisdom, we come here each week seeking a way to deeper understanding and wider vision of your will for us and for this world. Everywhere we go, we feel our lives are bombarded by information and opinions, and in the midst of that all, we long to hear your voice. We long to hear your summons cutting through the noise and teaching us how to live and how to have peace. God, we have come here this morning to draw nourishment from your word, from your spirit, and from one another. You have come to call us out of darkness and into the light. You have come to offer us deeper, richer life that you have promised and that you have shown us in the person of Jesus. And so we are bold to bring everything to you. We are bold to bring our worries and our concerns, our uncertainties and our griefs. We bring those and lay them at your feet. God, we also bring our joy and our celebration. We bring our hope about the possibilities ahead. We know that you take up all those things, and we know that you both hear us, that you speak to us, and that you grant us courage to respond such as we are able. Again, we saw that in the life of Jesus, and we ask you to reflect that to us now. We know that it was in his life that your word was made flesh, your wisdom lived out. We know that it was in his life we came to understand that your love was a free gift to anyone who wants to grasp it, which is why we gather here to tell stories about him and why we seal our prayers always in his name, using not only his name but also these words that he gave us as a gift that we might pray to you saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, friends, we come to this table. I've been thinking about it a lot, actually, and how much my service in this church may have changed this church, but how much it has also changed me, how much you have also changed me. I hope the presbytery is not watching this right now, because I think the disciples have really started to have an effect on me. The idea, great. The idea that this table is meant to be shared as often as we come together. The idea that we can proclaim our faith and that we can have powerful experiences of sacrament and baptism so freely has really shaped my perception. I have loved coming around this table and will love coming around this table. You know, and I remember that it is a broad welcome that's offered here, that we don't ask anything other than to come, to take and to eat and to this way to imbibe God's grace for you. We offer that every time. We say, anybody can come, please. God welcomes you here. Certainly, if you are at home, grabbing a morsel and something to drink. If you are here with this funny little thing still now, I would just invite you to believe that you are both welcome and part of this table, that you are made one with those who commune here, and that you are able to experience the grace of God in a special way here. You know, it occurs to me that this table centers around a story that happened the night before Jesus had told his disciples he was about to depart. I don't anticipate resurrecting 3 days after my death, but I think that there is some salience in saying we come together in difficult times and in joyful ones. We come together to share. We share this bread with those who are among us, just as Jesus did. And we remember that it was the night he was to be arrested. They sat around, and at the meal they shared together, Jesus did something unexpected, which was to take a loaf, to break that loaf, give it to them, say, "This is my body, and it's a gift for you. Do this in order to remember me." You understand that it was the same way after supper that he took a cup, having blessed it and poured it out, he gave it to them. He said, "This cup is my life. It represents a new way to be in relationship with God. Take this cup. Know that you are forgiven. This is the cup of blessing." And so we do take these things, and we ask that the Spirit might be present in them, in these words, in these morsels, that through them we might know God's presence. We take them, and we acknowledge that Jesus has given us the bread of life and the cup of blessing, and that we are called to take it together. So let's do that. Thanks for God's presence with us here, for the ways that this meal transforms us and sends us out. And we ask these things in the name of that which is holy to us. To me, that is Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, we move now into our service in a time of asking, what's next? What are we going to do? And it's nice to remember those questions are with us every time we get together. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about these words? What are we going to do with this world? How are we going to express love? As often as we get together, you're encouraged to spend just a few moments thinking about that for you, thinking about what that means in your life. And then after we hear the doxology, we'll talk a little bit about what that means in the life of our congregation. So I would invite you to be in a time of discernment, how you want to respond to the word. That's caretaking, ministries of prayer, ministries of music, gifts to the financial life of this church. There's so many opportunities. So take that into your heart and think on it as we hear the doxology. Be seated. So friends, I just want to name a few things as I do that will be happening in our midst or have happened in our midst, and just give you a sense of those. Who feels like they might need to just kind of chill and get a little peace somehow after they have left this service? Okay, great. Well, log on to our website and watch again our Vespers on the Lanai from this last Friday. Megan Bledsoe Ward with us playing the harp, soothing, peaceful, amazingly talented new friend for us at Vespers. And so I encourage you to go turn that on, listen to it, and enjoy that, especially if you missed it. I have a note here. The church office will be closed this next week. Dana will be on vacation. Please, you can be in touch with me if you need anything. I will be around. She will reopen on Monday, August 23rd. So if you need anything in the meantime that is time sensitive, email pastor@ccukailua.org. CCU Arts and Crafts Group. This is an opportunity to get together and kind of express ourselves creatively. At this moment, I feel like now that is a new mantra. At this moment, we do plan to go ahead with that since it's an outdoor activity in a small group where we can be wearing our masks. But please, if you plan to come to that, check your Thursday email first. And we are kind of constantly trying to be responsive to COVID numbers, policies, requirements, etc. So, but that's tentatively happening next Saturday. Same with the tailgate. We have tentative, everything is tentative now. We have tentative plans to continue with that if it seems safe. But again, please watch. We'll check in about it next week and then watch your email. We're just living in the moment here. And again, a note that these flowers are from Lori and Rob Seaver to honor Ansley and Philip as they get married. Seaver Hall will be their names shortly. I'm hoping there will be wonderful pictures of that. Am I missing anything that needs to be sort of named for the good of the order? Ah, yes! The cleanup day. Empires rise and fall, pastors come and go, the lawn keeps growing, the building keeps aging. So Saturday the 28th, Beth will be orchestrating a cleanup day. So you are welcome to come here whenever it makes sense for your schedule between about 8 and noon. Paint things, clean things, trim things. It's great for our souls to be in the dirt and great for our building to have some expanded help in caretaking. So I hope you will choose to participate in that. And with that, I think we will move once again into a time of music. Never a better time to remember that God is good and that God is faithful and that God endures with us forever. So I'm going to invite Diana Marion back to close us with Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Change.
Thank you for those musical gifts, and I hope that you will go forward from this place and you will indeed find that the hand of God provides what you need in the moments and in all the steps ahead. I hope you will hear the spirit of wisdom saying, come, come to me. And now I would like to offer you a blessing as we go out from this place. Hard words to say, especially today, but I think appropriate as they have so guided our time together. And they are these. Life is short, and we do not have long to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. So be swift to love, and make haste to be kind. And may the divine mystery, which surpasses all our understanding, but who made us, and who loves us, and who travels with us, may that God bless us and keep us always in peace. Amen.